Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download The Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit KindleyAtAsbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Tool Shed. This is episode 108 of the Fantrax Tool Shed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. It is finally opening day. Well, not right now. We're recording Wednesday night, but when you're listening to this, it'll be opening day. So happy opening day to everybody out there. We finally made it. We got through the lockout. We We did it together. We got Major League regular season baseball back with us for the next 6 months and then another month of postseason. It's a glorious time. It's always my favorite day of the year, opening day. And this is going to be a fun episode. And with me to celebrate, to talk baseball, the most 80 grade co-host in the history of co-hosts, Mr. Chris Clegg. What's going on, bud?
Oh, not too much. This offseason feels like it was the longest one ever. So it's really good that we have baseball back. Obviously, spring training is great, but here we are, and it's time for regular season baseball. Fantasy baseball is back, and we're here to break it all down because I think we have had an awesome spring with all the prospects coming up. Like, so exciting. I think it's got to be a record for most prospects starting with their team on opening day.
It's great to see. It really is, finally. Well, except for Pittsburgh. They're like, nah, no, Neil Cruz, Renzi Contreras, you can just chill in AAA for a little bit till we need you. And then San Diego's like, you know what? Let's throw Abrams and Wright. Or maybe. That's not been confirmed as of now at 9:15 p.m. on Wednesday. Hasn't been confirmed yet. But, yeah, let's just throw Abrams in right field, see what happens. You know, it's kind of funny, the different philosophies on teams. But, yeah, so Abrams could be added to this list. It's already a very impressive list of intriguing prospects that'll be debuting on opening day. We will talk about that later on in the show with some other news and notes to start the show. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us. And, of course, all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network. And we get our great draft kit, and now we are into the regular season content. We have anywhere from 18 to 22, 23 articles a week, some bi-weekly, so that's why the fluctuation. But you'll get everything you could need this season. We got updated rankings every week, streamers, strategy, prospect and dynasty work, two start pitchers, waiver wire, the whole nine, StatCast stuff Chris will be doing, everything you could want. So check out FantraxHQ.com for all your regular season fantasy baseball needs. But let's get right into it, Chris. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start with some spring training, you know, the news and notes here over the last week. We'll start with a guy that's been talked about a lot on Twitter, always a great talking point on social media, just in general. Byron Buxton, he had a great spring this year. He was one of the top overall hitters this spring. He had 5 home runs this spring with 13 RBI and 5 doubles, 10 extra base hits in 12 games. Out of the stolen base, hit .469 with a .514 OBP and a .1094 slug. And, of course, you get all the Buxton supporters out there, and there's a lot of them saying, oh, this is finally the year, even though I feel like we say that every single year. But it's bound to be the year at some point, right? Like, with the laws of physics or nature or whatever, it's going to happen at some point, right?
Yeah, it should. I mean, he has not got hurt yet.
I would love to see it too. Like, I would love to see a fully healthy year of Buxton to see what he can do.
Right. I mean, he smashed in the wall. Everybody was worried about it on that catch. I think it was the first day of spring training and he was okay. So I don't know. Maybe it's it. I'd be very happy because I want to see it. I think there's first round upside pretty easily here in this profile.
Oh, for sure. Like, you look at his power speed pace. He has 70 home runs and 71 steals in his career in 1,758 plate appearances. I mean, even if you break that down into like 650 plate appearance pace, I do some quick math here. So that's around 26, 27 home runs and steals. And we know he has the upside for more than that on both. Now, last year, cranked the ball 17.9% barrel rate, 53.8 hard contact rate, 92.5 average exit velo, 300 XBA, 611 X slug. Like, all the metrics were just off the charge, in addition to a 99th percentile sprint speed. Like, he is one of those few that could go, you know, 40-40. Like, is it going to happen? Probably not. But there's like maybe 4 or 5 guys in baseball that have that upside. You know, obviously Tatis, Acuna, I throw Luis Robert. Or wait, maybe say 40-30. Throw Robert in there, Buxton. Those are the first 4 that come to mind. Maybe we can end up throwing, you know, I don't know if Witt has that upside, maybe, but it's a very select few when Buxton has that. So I don't know. I'm still weary of him, though. Like, his ADP was what, around like 50 or so, and even went higher than, like, in the main events. It was like the mid 30s over the last couple few weeks and all the NFC main events. But obviously the talent is definitely there. Like, I don't think anybody can deny that. Like, any baseball fan that knows a shred about baseball cannot deny the talent's there. But can he just play a full, even like 140? Like, what would you say, Chris, percent chance he plays 140 games this year?
Very, very slim. Yeah, well, I mean, so yeah, I'm not sure if he's played 140. So in the last 2 years, he's played 100 combined, obviously the shortened 2020 season. And then he played 87 in 2019, 28 in 2018. He did play 140 in 2017. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I think we're dreaming a little bit. I would take 125, I think. He's going to return value if he plays 125 games. Usually, I mean, last year he played 61 games, hit 19 home runs, stole 9 bases, and had a 306 average. Like, if he just played, if he doubled that, you know, 40-20, like, that's pretty crazy.
It's definitely possible. I'm still a little bit worried about the approach as well. You look at the last 2 years combined, and while in 100 games, 389 plate appearances, he does have 32 home runs, 26 doubles. Was that 11 steals, only been caught twice, but has 15 walks to 98 strikeouts. So that's still, even if you go back, it's always been kind of that way. 19 walks to 68 Ks in 2019, 3 to 28 in 2018, 38 to 150 in 2017, et cetera, et cetera. So that still does concern me a bit. It's a very aggressive approach, but 32 home runs in this last 389 plate appearances, you can't ignore that. And we'll see. And he only has 11 steals, but even 120 games, he can go 30-15 very easily. We'll see. I don't know what the average will be, though. Like, yeah, it was 306 last year, and a lot of metrics back it up. But he's 248 for his career. We've seen that hover around 250 to 260 the last most of his career before that. So maybe, I don't think 300's, you know, it's probably more like 260, 270. But, yeah, if we can get 120, 130 games out of him, that would be phenomenal. So let's keep our fingers crossed, because, yeah, I don't have any shares of him. Like, I would love to have had Buxton at least one team, and maybe I'll have some FOMO here. I do have a little bit of FOMO right now, a little bit of FOMO with Byron Buxton, just because obviously the upside is astronomical, but where he was going in drafts. So that'd be 15 teamers. That's like your fourth, fifth player on your team. I just couldn't do with it. That with the risk. And at that point, I'm looking to, you know, maybe get my second arm or dip into the relief pitcher well and get like a, you know, Iglesias or Edwin Diaz, something like that. Or just get a more, you know, maybe a bat that's not quite as talented, but is more reliable. I just hate that much risk with one of my top like four or five picks. Even higher than that, like main events, he's going third round. So your top three pick, that much risk. Yeah, it could work out, but man, I don't know. It's like the issue with Mondesi every round? Year.
Yeah, he went first round in a main event, which is
crazy. Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if you want to get bold, have some fun with it, sure. But man, that's Ooh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I love Buxton and all, but this is so much. You know, obviously, he has one of the widest range of outcomes. He can go 40-30, or he could just be another injury plague season where he's striking out a ton. So yeah. I don't know. I just can't do it at the price. If he was going like closer to pick 100, okay, I can get on board with that. If he's going like closer to Bobby Witt Jr. territory at ADP, okay. But I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But we'll see. We'll see if he has a great season here. I can see it. He'll go like 36 home runs, 20 steals in 130 games, go first round next year, and then play 20 games next year.
Just how it rolls.
I can just totally see that happening, but... All right, moving, you know, staying in the division, though, the Detroit Tigers continue to get better. Traded for Austin Meadows from Tampa Bay. They give up Isak Paredes and I think a lower-level prospect as well. But the big thing, I don't think this, you know, Meadows, I don't think it really changes his value too much here. But the biggest kind of beneficiary of this deal is probably Josh Lowe, who, you know, they haven't said, you know, flat out he's going to start, but they're bringing him back up. I'm assuming it's the start. In the outfield, and I've said it before, like Josh Lowe is a guy, if he's starting this year, he's a guy I want to have in all like 12 team or deeper leagues. Like if your league's rostering 250 plus players total at any one time, I think he's definitely a guy that needs to be rostered if he's starting. And we'll see. It looks like he's probably going to, but this is a guy obviously the speed's always been there. Very efficient base dealer as well to note, which he sold 26 bags last year, wasn't caught once. And that's, he's been a high efficiency base dealer throughout his minor league career. Only been caught 25 times in 123 attempts. The power finally came along 2019 and 2021. It's combined for 40 home runs in 232 games with a, you know, ISO above 200 in each of those seasons. Excuse me, it was only 190 in 2019, but he could go 15-20 this year with a, you know, 250, 260 average, OBP maybe in the 330, 340 range. He's always been a little bit higher of an OBP guy than an average asset. But, yeah, full season, 15-20, I'm all on board with Josh Lowe.
Yeah, I definitely see it. If he gets – they've got to give him the chance to play every day. That's really the biggest thing. He needs to play every day to get his reps. And if he does, he'll be fine. I think that's the biggest thing we see with prospects is when they get jerked around, they're up, they're just not playing every day. The inconsistent playing time hurts them, but I do think that he's one that would benefit from that everyday playing time. I mean, really, like, who else are you going to play now? Like, I don't really see anybody. Like, Kevin Kiermaier is probably going to man center field, yep. But I don't know. I mean, who else is in their outfield? Harold Ramirez, is he going to take time from him?
Doubt it.
Yeah, it seems like Josh Lowe is going to play most every day, so he deserves a roster spot in 12-team leagues, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you look at Roster Resource, it has him in a platoon with, I'm assuming, Harold Ramirez. I don't see that at all. They also have G-Man Choi and Taylor Walls in some sort of weird platoon, maybe the weirdest looking platoon I've ever seen. But, yeah, I don't see Harold Ramirez. They also have Brett Phillips, but Phillips, I think, is more there for emotional and, like, you know, he's a cheerleader. He's like, obviously he's not a great player, but every team loves to have a Brett Phillips. I love Brett Phillips. He looks like a cool dude, but he's not taking time from Josh Lowe. Harold Ramirez is not taking time from Josh Lowe. You know, Ramirez had a decent little season last year, but he's shown he's just a backup outfielder type. Lowe, you know, Vidal Brujan, even, these are the guys that are going to be the potential impact players for Tampa moving forward. So can definitely see it. A lot of projections have him right around 15-15, you know, 240-ish average. I think he can do a little bit better than that, but obviously he's a prospect. We don't know, but definitely that power speed is there. So definitely 12-team mixed leagues or deeper, Josh Lowe is a great target. Do you think this changes Meadows' value at all, Chris, or is that kind of a lateral move for him, do you think?
I do think he sees more playing time. Especially with Riley Green out, a lot of hitters complain about the hitter's eye in Trop, and Meadows' splits don't stand out like Adames, obviously, but could this be a benefit to him? I definitely think so. And a fresh start. I mean, you look back and how good of the season he had, 2019, where he just dominated, and maybe he just needed the fresh start to get some confidence. I mean, now in the same org as his brother, could be a good thing for him. So I think it may increase it a little bit, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see on that. Definitely getting out of Tampa Bay is always usually a good thing. We saw that with the Dominos, even though, like you mentioned, this wasn't quite as drastic with the splits for Meadows. But, yeah, that Riley Green injury really stuck, too. Like, we're going to see him opening day from the sounds of it with Torkelson, which we'll get into a little later. But now he's going to be out for a couple months now. That really...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really sucks, but hopefully he's up, you know, get some AAA time back in to get shaking the rust off, and hopefully we see him sometime midseason to add to torque in this exciting on the rise Detroit lineup. Moving out west here, we had a trade a few days back with the Padres acquiring Sean Manaea from Oakland for peanuts, pretty much, which has pretty much been Oakland's offseason summed up in basically right there. Then they put Mike Clevenger on the IL, so Manaea is taking his spot for now. What are your thoughts on Manaea this year, Chris? I see everyone's kind of going bonkers on him, taking him fairly high, like top 130 or so overall. I'm not sure where that was in terms of pitchers, but I don't see. Like, I wrote an article 2 months ago at this point about starting pitchers to avoid in the top 200 picks or so, and Manaea was easily one of my first pitchers I put in there. I mean, he's okay. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad and going to fall off a cliff or anything, but last year was a lot of the similar stuff from him. I don't see him sustaining the 5-ish% or 5.4% jump in K rate. I don't know. You see, a lot of the metrics didn't really get better and justify. Yeah, the whiff rate went up. That's great and all. Chase rate was almost exactly the same. I just didn't really see like why he's going so much higher than in years past. He's decent, but I just don't see him. Like, I'd rather have him as like my SP 5 or 6, not my SP 3 or 4. But where are you at on Sho Manaea this year?
I haven't got him anywhere, nor do I plan to. I don't know. His velo was down this spring as well, which I think is pretty interesting. He's not a big velo guy anyway. But if the velo is not there, I mean, I remember one start. I'm trying to find it, but one start he was sitting like 89 with the fastball, and that's just not going to cut it at all. So I don't know. I mean, he could be fine, but again, like, everybody goes bonkers about this rotation, but it's not good. There, I mean, really, like, it's Joe Musgrove.
There's talent, but it's just a lot of question marks. Like, Yu Darvish, can he stay healthy? He's been inconsistent. You know, Blake Snell, same thing, very inconsistent.
Can he throw more than 5 innings? Yeah,
exactly. And then they're going to throw Nick Martinez in there as well. And it's a lot of question marks still in that rotation.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not in on Manaea. I don't see, I just don't really see him sustaining what he did last year. Yeah, the K rate was up a little bit, but still not a high end K rate at all. It did come with a increase in swinging strike rate, but I don't know. I just fear there's regression coming, and Oakland's park is tailor made for pitchers, so I don't really want any part of this.
I don't either. Like I said, I think you and I kind of share our love for Joe Musgrove. He's a guy I have several shares of this year, both in redraft and dynasty. But the rest of this rotation has basically been a giant, even in the bullpen especially, because it's like a 20-person committee at this point of people that I don't care to roster in dynasty leagues. So this entire pitching staff, really, outside of Joe Musgrove, has been a giant void for me. I don't have any shares of Manaea. I don't think I do of Darvish or Snell. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Obviously, I'm done with my drafts at this point. It's today's opening day. But I wouldn't be opposed to getting a Darvish or Snell, but their price tag was just a bit higher than I wanted. And that bullpen is just a giant mess of Lamet and Suarez and Pierce Johnson and Emilio Pagan. It's just a bunch of guys out there that are all in this massive committee, like I mentioned. So, yeah, I'm out. I've always been out of Manaea. I've never been a Manaea guy. Don't get the love this year. Definitely going way too high. And what was his velocity? Do you know what his average velocity was this spring, Chris?
Who, Manaea?
Yeah.
No, not consistently.
It's probably back down to the reg. He was 89.8 on the sinker in 2019, 90.4 in 2020. Then he jumped to 92.1 last year. So he's probably back down in that previous range, if I had to guess.
Yeah, let's see if I can find it somewhere. I do remember one start monitoring and seeing that he was at like 89, but that probably wasn't consistent. I don't really know. I don't know if anybody tracked that or not, but
maybe not. But yeah. I don't see that K rate. Like I said, even a good K rate for him is still like that was barely above league average last year, and he's been well below league average. He's more been like a 20% guy for most of his career, except for that one shortened season for him in 2019. He jumped to 27.5, but that was very abbreviated. He only threw 444 pitches total that year. I think it was just a few starts. So, I am 100% out on Sho Manaea. And I think this move actually might hurt him a little bit. Yeah, the team's better around him. So, in theory, a chance for a little more wins, I guess. But, you know, going – leaving that spacious Oakland ballpark is always a downgrade, at least slightly. And I don't think the upgrade in team can make up for that. So no Manaea for either of these two people, that's for sure. Let's stick on the pitching train here. What are we doing with Jacob deGrom and Chris Sale in Dynasty Leagues? Obviously, when they're on, like, Jacob deGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, even above Corbin Burns. But he's hurt again. He's got the shoulder, what was the exact terminology? It was some long, drawn-out thing. His shoulder is something in the shoulder. So he's out for probably till mid-season sometime. Who knows? Maybe we see another 80 to 90 innings of him. Maybe that's generous. Maybe he's 60 innings this year. But again, another shortened season for Jacob deGrom. And Chris Sale is going to be out till at least probably early June or so. He was put on the 60-day IL the other day by the Boston Red Sox. I mean, I was listening to, obviously I live in Maine here, so I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. We talk Boston Red Sox a lot on local sports talk. And they were just kind of eating him alive today because he had some comments, about how he's, it's hard for me to stay healthy. And I wish I could stay out there more. Like, yeah, obviously, Chris Sale. Like, I looked it up. He's made roughly 65% of his starts since we acquired him from the White Sox back before the 2017 season. So obviously the talent is there, but he hasn't even been the same guy ever since he had to undergo Tommy John. He has not been the same guy. He's been good. He's not been, Chris Sale, from 2016, 2017, or even before that. So that plus the injuries, the age is getting up there. I don't know. I don't know if I want either of these two in Dynasty anymore. I took Sale in the Highlander because he fell outside pick 100, but I'm starting to regret that now. But I don't know, Chris, how are you feeling about these two in Dynasty right now?
Well, DeGrom, I think the answer is if you roster him in Dynasty League, you wait till he's back, you let him throw one or two dominant starts and you trade him, mm-hmm. personally. And it's not to say that he's not a good pitcher and you shouldn't roster him. It's the fact that he just doesn't pitch. He's the best pitcher in baseball when he pitches, but he's not pitching. So it's pretty easy for me, and I have him in a couple Dynasty Leagues, so this is what I'll be trying to do. So I hope my league mates aren't listening if you're in that league with me and you know what I'm going to do with DeGrom. But with Sale, it's tough because Sale's track record is just not as good recently. We don't have that tracker where he's the best pitcher in baseball like DeGrom has when he's on the mound. I mean, Sale's just not been on the mound for one. And since 2019, he's only thrown 42 innings that we saw last year. So he's going to be a little harder to trade, I think. But I'm not really actively looking to trade for him either. There are so many concerns. DeGrom's an easy wait, let him pitch and trade him. Sale might be one where somebody, you just see what you can get for him now. And I'm not a huge advocate of that normally, but gosh, it's just so hard with him. Like, his value may only continue to go down, which would be even worse. So there may be somebody in your league that likes Sale a lot that you could go out and get something for right now, at least try. I trade him right now for a top 150 dynasty asset.
That's fair. Let's play a little who would you rather have here. I like this game. This is a fun little game. I'm just going to pull up my dynasty rankings right now. You said the top 150 range, so I'm going to go top in that general vicinity in mine. You want to stick with just pitchers, Chris, or just anybody?
It doesn't matter.
All right. Let's say someone came up and offered you Yoan Moncada. Let's keep it back from the Red Sox White Sox trade here. Who would you rather have?
Yeah, it's like a trade of two like down players. I'd just rather take Moncada because at least he's on the field. He says he's going to run more this year. Maybe this year he finally puts it together. I'll take Moncada.
I think that's so tough. Very close. I want to say Sale because obviously his upside's higher. But yeah, Moncada's on the field. He's a couple years younger, I believe. Yeah, like three or so years younger. How about here's a fun one. Luis Garcia, pitcher from Houston. Who would you rather have?
Give me Garcia.
All right. Newest import. Saya Suzuki.
Suzuki.
All right, let me go. These all guys right in my 150 or so range. Let's go. How about Tanner Houck?
Oh, that's tough. I'm not a big Houck guy, so.
You still Sale then?
I think I'd rather sit on Sale.
All right, last one. Let's go a pitching prospect who's the closest. George Kirby.
Ooh, that's tough.
This is why I love this game.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like making you sweat it out.
It really makes you think.
Yeah, it does, really.
Gosh, I don't know. I want to say Kirby, but it is really close.
Yeah. So yeah, those are all guys like give or take 10 spots from 150 in my dynasty rank. Like Kirby, I have 145 right now. Suzuki was 152. Garcia was 151. Yeah, that's a fun little game. But yeah, it's definitely hard. But right now, I guess you got if you have these guys, you got to hold the Chris said. Let them build their value back up, you know, but trade them quickly because it's probably gonna go back down again at this point. They're not getting any younger, DeGrom and Sale. So definitely tough to roster right now in Dynasty Leagues. Now let's round out this section of the show. Talk the Craig Kimbrel, AJ Pollock trade. I thought it would happen sooner. Like I thought Kimbrel, after the LaRussa comments a few weeks ago, I thought he was gonna be on the opening day roster. It sounded like he was. Like maybe they trade him during the season, but kind of a surprise trade a few days back, sent him out to the Dodgers, got AJ Pollock in a deal that kind of made sense for both teams. I don't think the Dodgers were fully committed to going with Blake Treinen in that ninth inning. They kind of were saying, oh, we'll mix in with him, with some Daniel Hudson, with some Bruce Gratterall. And obviously the White Sox needed another bat with Andrew Vaughn hurt. So makes sense for both sides, honestly. But some fancy ramifications here. You know, I don't think it's a big, you know, change for AJ Pollock. It's pretty, you know, pretty minimal value change for him. Obviously, Kimbrel goes way up, and I'm glad I have a few shares of him from earlier on and some DCs and best balls. But I had so many Blake Treinen shares that I'm a little bummed out about this right now. And then, obviously, with Pollock gone, what the extra at-bats, where do those go? Some people are speculating Gavin Lux, which is kind of where I lean. Others are saying, oh, maybe it's Edwin Rios. So definitely a question there of who gets those at-bats out there in left, or if they switch it up and move. You know, like Rossi Russo has Taylor now going from second to left with Gavin Lux in a platoon with Hanser Alberto, which I don't believe. But, you know, so it's probably Lux or Rios. But so first of all, let's start there. Who do you think is the beneficiary from the added at-bats out there? Do you think it's Lux, or do you think it's Edwin Rios?
I don't trust the Dodgers with either of them, honestly.
That's a great answer, yeah.
Yeah, they're rolling a three-man bench right now, which is interesting. That I'm assuming we'll see. I don't know who would get the call. Like, I don't know who they would. I don't know. I'm confused as to where they'll go, because like, I don't think they're going to roll a three-man bench for the long run. So, you know, maybe Zach McKinstry comes up against some reps.
Yeah, McKinstry, he can play all around the field a bit.
I mean, Michael Bush would be natural.
Yeah. Maybe they just go bold and like, screw it, let's bring up Miguel Vargas.
I think Vargas
could hit right now.
Yeah, I do think he's a good enough hitter where he's ready. I'd love that, but I don't know if they do that. I don't trust the Dodgers to do that, but you know, they'll pop a trade off like tomorrow morning. Duffs might be on their roster. It'll just be what happens. So
yeah, probably. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, so I would say in the immediate, Lux should get the majority of bats, and hopefully he's good enough to keep the spot. That's my hope, at least. But,
but
we'll see.
How many times have we said, I think that's probably like the seventh, eighth, ninth time we've said that at some point. Yeah. Like something happens, whether it's a trade, someone gets hurt, whatever it is. Something happens that opens up theoretical playing time for Gavin Lux. Like, oh, yeah, he should get that time and he should do well. And then it's like it never happened. One, he either doesn't get the time or he does and he's kind of lackluster and gets sent down to AAA or the bench. I don't know. Like I said before, like I just wonder if the Dodgers don't think as highly of him as we all do.
Yeah,
which is possible. Very possible. The writing might be on the wall there. I'm not saying they think he's not good, but I don't know. We a lot of us in the fantasy industry kind of are like, all right, waiting for Lux to break out and have that Kyle Tucker breakout performance, and I don't think it's coming. Maybe he can still be a serviceable guy, but he's a guy that every time I update my rankings for Dynasty, just move him. He keeps just jumping down a little bit more, 15, 20 spots down every time, because I think it's, you know, I just don't see it anymore. I think he still could be decent, maybe a, you know, middle infield type for fantasy, but I don't think he's ever going to be like a top 10 second baseman or anything like that anymore. So I'm kind of not out on Lux, but I'm starting to open that door, let's say.
But that's fair in a sad reality, though.
Yeah, it sucks, but that's the Dodgers for you. But when you have a lineup as good as them, you can afford to do whatever you want and experiment. That's what winning does for you, and what's what a large payroll does for you as well.
That's true.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side and talk a lot of prospects that made their teams opening their rosters and what it could mean both short-term and long-term for Dynasty. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back from the break. As we mentioned earlier, so many talented prospects. Like, this is probably one of the biggest, maybe the biggest wave I've seen since I've been, you know, watching baseball over the last, you know, 25 years or so of my life. Obviously, I can't remember when I was younger, but this is just so many great prospects. Like, we have, I think, you know, what, three or four top 10 guys would have had another one if Riley Green wasn't hurt. So let's start with those big guns, obviously, with Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, and Spencer Torkelson, all of them up on opening day. We knew Witt was, like, the writing was kind of on the wall with Witt, but they made it official a handful of days ago. Same thing with Spencer Torkelson. And I don't know if it was surprising with given how great J-Rod was this spring, but he also gets this. He'll be the starting center fielder for them on opening day up there in Seattle. So three potential AL rookie of the year, probably the three front runners for AL rookie of the year right now, especially with Adley Rutschman and Shane Baz both hurt to start the year. So at this point, would you have, let's start with J-Rod actually. You know, we saw his ADP just skyrocket over the last week or so after the news broke that he was going to be opening day guy in center field. What are you thinking we could see from J-Rod this year, Chris? Do you think he could be a, let's say, a top 100 player?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd be willing to draft him inside the top 100 because I do think that he's just going to be that good. And the reality is that he's a super high floor. He hits the ball extremely hard. He's a weird example of a player that has gotten faster as he's gotten bigger, but I think he's going to steal. He's going to steal plenty of bases, and the power's undeniable, and the contact skills are good enough where I think that it leaves him with a pretty high floor. So yeah, I'm willing to go top 100 on him. I think that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he went 2015, maybe even 2015. I don't think that's out of the cards completely.
I don't either, to be honest with you. I think I put him down for, like, I think I said 24 and 13 or 14, something like that, which I think is very possible. That'd be a great season. Plus, with, like, I think he's still going to hit 270 at least. Long term, he's definitely like a 300 guy, but look at what he did to the spring training in 14 games. He had four doubles, three home runs, three steals, was caught once, five walks to nine strikeouts, scored 10 runs, hit 412, 487, 794 for a nice little 1281 OPS. One of the top players in spring training in general. So yeah, he's definitely ready. I wasn't sure they were going to do it, especially after what we saw from Kelenic last year. I wondered if they were going to be like, all right, let's just give him some time in AAA, maybe just even a month and bring him up in May or June or something like that. But hey, all the power to them for, you know, putting the best team on the field. And obviously that means Julio Rodriguez. So yeah, I could definitely see a top. I could see him pushing top 50 this year. Everything breaks right. If he goes 270, like 25, 15, that's probably pushing top 50 right there. We'll see what the RBI and run score look like. He's probably going to hit a little bit lower, at least to start. Maybe I think they have him like sixth or seventh in the lineup. He'll probably move up eventually, but that's a really solid lineup, kind of 1 through 9 for Seattle now. So I can see him you know, around 80 RBI, 75 runs scored, something like that. So I could, in long term, obviously we're looking at like Miguel Cabrera plus speed. Like that's what we could be looking at, which is, it's crazy to think about because Cabrera is one of the best pure hitters of my lifetime. And to think that we could have someone just as good, but with speed, like it's just crazy to think what peak Rodriguez looks like. It's, it could be stupid, silly good for fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. He could be in that discussion of the top five, like in the first tier we're talking about, like with the Sotos and the Cunhas and the Tatis, you know, and the Vlads, like he could be in that discussion over the next year, in my opinion.
100%. And I think Bobby Witt Jr. could be as well. I know we've differed a little bit. You have J-Rod 1. I have Witt 1. There's no wrong answer here, to be honest with you. It's like 1A, 1B, if we're being honest. But I think Witt could be close in power. Like, I don't think there's a huge, like home runs. I don't think it's going to be a huge gap. Like I think J-Rod probably maybe averages 4 or 5 more a year. But I think Witt is low to mid-30s. J-Rod probably mid to upper 30s. I think average will probably be J-Rod by, I don't know, 20 points or so. I think he's 295, 300. Witt's probably around 280. But I do think Witt will probably give you an extra 10 steals or so. So overall, it's like, what profile do you want? You know, or do you want the shortstop slash third baseman, which is where Witt will be playing, at least initially, until Mondesi inevitably goes on the IL in like May or something like that? Or do you want the outfielder with a little bit more power, a little bit higher average, higher floor? It's personal preference, really. There's no wrong answer here. But yet, this could be two players that we're both looking at as top 10 fantasy picks in the short term. Like, maybe not next year, but by 2024 drafts, we could be seeing both those guys top 10. Like, the upside is that high on each of these guys, obviously, so.
Yeah, it's crazy. The prospect talent, I think, is some of the best that it's been. So, you know, Witt, J-Rod, you could probably flip a coin on, and Witt's just proven all spring that he's more than ready to hang with the big boys. Now he's going to have third base eligibility too. Like, that's going to be phenomenal for fantasy purposes, a shallow position.
I love that. Yeah, and I got both him and Bryson Stott in the Highlander Dynasty startup draft. I could have dual eligibility from both those guys, which would be great.
That's great.
Love that. And yeah, Witt this spring was just as dominant as J-Rod was. 406 average, 3 doubles, 3 home runs, and 2 steals. And even more importantly, that's all impressive and all. Only had 3 strikeouts in 34 plate appearances, which is like 8.whatever%. So that's encouraging as well. So I could see, I do have some FOMO. I didn't have Witt in any redraft leagues, which is surprising. People know me. I'm surprised I didn't have at least one share of Witt somewhere, but I do have a little bit of FOMO right now with that. I don't have any Bobby Witt Jr. shares because he could definitely go like 25-20 this year. I could totally see it. Obviously, he's a rookie. I was saying similar things about Jared Kelenic last year, and we saw that worked out. But I wish I did have a share of Witt because these guys are going to be so damn good, and it could be this year. Also, Seattle, another call-up, kind of a little more unheralded, but a guy that definitely needs to be on your radar, both short-term and long-term, Matt Brash. I know, Chris, you are a little bit high. I like Brash. You're a little bit higher on him. So I'll toss it over to you. Why should everyone be excited about Matt Brash right away?
Have you seen his slider? It's nasty, nasty, nasty.
It's not. Was it NSFW? Yeah. It's NSFW right there.
Yeah. I think he's just pretty underrated still with everything you've seen. I mean, he just dominated across the board last year at 2.31 ERA, 142 strikeouts in 98 innings, strikes out a ton of batters. It's kind of funny. He was a player to be named later in the Taylor Williams trade, when they traded the reliever to San Diego. So Brash just broke out in a huge way last year. And you look, his fastball, you know, sits mid-90s. Gets a lot of spin on it, gets a ton of swing and miss. The slider is a huge sweeper, mid-80s. You know, it's a double-plus pitch. Some people have said 80 grade, which is nasty.
Yep.
I mean, he's really a really good two-pitch guy, and then he features a knuckle curve as well, a changeup that sometimes looks solid. It's inconsistent, but it looks really good from time to time. So if he can refine the changeup and throw it consistently, I think it's a huge recipe for success. His stuff, his frontline stuff, but he has to improve the control a little bit, and we need to see him throw the changeup more consistently. But here's his chance. I mean, they're going to throw him in the fire and see what he's got, but I think he's ready to do it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, those have been kind of the concerns I've had with Brash, obviously. The command and control and just the establishing that third pitch, whether it's the knuckle curve, whether it's the changeup. And I agree. I have seen him throw some pretty solid changeups where I'm like, all right, maybe that could be the pitch. But then he just goes back and kind of settles in that fastball slider, which obviously, as you mentioned, is a one of the best two-pitch combinations that you'll see, especially from someone his age. But where do you think he finishes, like, this year? Would you be okay having him as, like, your SP6 or so this year?
Oh, yeah. I think that would be – because at that point, like, if you have a solid five, like, that's a great upside play where, you know, you're looking at a SP6 on paper, but he could return, like, SP2 or 3 value. Like, that's well worth it.
So end of the season, you know, everything goes great for Brash. Where do you think he is, like, in terms of pitcher rankings? Do you think he could be top let's say top 40?
That's the number I was thinking, top 40. Yeah. I could see that.
I could too, yeah. The arm is definitely – the talent is absolutely there. I could see him definitely sticking in this rotation. And they're going to add George Kirby probably at some point by the All-Star break. I don't know who he bumps out. I don't know, maybe it's Chris Flexen's. I don't think Chris Flexen's that good, honestly. But, yeah, this rotation could be really, really good. End of the season, you're going to have Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, Matt Brash. You know, Marco Gonzalez is decent enough, I guess. And then adding George Kirby as well. It's going to be a damn good rotation. It's going to be a – I'm becoming like a closet Seattle Mariners fan. Like my West Coast team right now. There's just a lot of fun players on this team. Adding J-Rod and obviously my boy Kelnick out there. And for everyone that's kind of wondering, I got some questions about that. Going back to J-Rod real quick. That – does this bump Kelnick out now? Like the, I forget who it was. I forget if it was DePoto or someone else higher up in the front office. This is before he had the back-to-back-to-back games with the home run. They were saying glowing things about him, saying, all right, the swings, the quality of work he's putting out there, you know, the stat line isn't indicative of that. Like he's doing great. Like they were just raving about him. And now obviously he's starting to heat up over the last handful of games here. So I think it's probably Kelnick and left, with J-Rod in center and Mitchie Haniger in right, with probably Winker DHing. That's how I think it shakes out. And it looks like they'll probably hit J-Rod and Kelnick back-to-back, 6-7, something like that. So definitely this doesn't hurt Kelnick at all, I don't think, at least. So
I don't think so either.
Yeah, no. Like I said, they've raved about him so far, and that was before the three homer stretch here over the last few days, which has been fun to see. I've given our good buddy Michael Semien a little jabs there on Twitter. He gives him right back. That was a fun little thing we had going on there. One last thing on J-Rod too. I put out a poll a couple of days ago asking people who they'd rather have in Dynasty right now, J-Rod or Yordan Alvarez. And it was like nearly 2,000 votes, and it was literally split 50-50, which is ridiculous. So I'll ask you, Chris, right now, Startup Dynasty, you're on the clock. You got to pick J-Rod or Yordan. Who are you going with?
I think J-Rod for the speed.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking with somebody about this on maybe in the Discord. Yeah, it was on the Discord. They were like, they were surprised. It was that exact proposition. They were surprised that I picked J-Rod, but I think the power, J-Rod's power is every bit of Yordan's power. You look at the exit velocities that J-Rod has posted consistently, and they're right there with Yordan's. It's definitely in the cards for J-Rod to hit 35-plus home runs.
Agreed.
I'd give the batting average edge to Yordan. He is an elite contact hitter. While J-Rod is a good contact hitter, I don't really see him on that same level. So I'm looking at a 300 hitter in Yordan. I'm looking at a 280 hitter in J-Rod. But Yordan's not going to give you a single stolen base. J-Rod's going to chip in 15. So that's kind of the kicker for fantasy purposes for me. So I would take J-Rod.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you too. And obviously I love Yordan and I think he's definitely absolutely legit. But yeah, once you add in the speed that J-Rod can bring, and I can see why people would say Yordan too. He's already established. J-Rod hasn't taken a single swing in major leagues yet, although he will in, you know, handful of hours from now. But yeah, I can see why people would go Yordan, but I think I would lean, like, they're very close to my ranking. I think they might be back to back in my rankings right now, which is kind of funny, but I probably would lean with a J-Rod as well. Moving on here. Let's go over to the pitching side of things for a little bit here. The dynamic duo of Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo will be starting the year in Cincinnati's rotation. Green was announced first, and a few days later, they said that they were bringing Lodolo with them, and he'll probably start the fifth game of the year. That hasn't been like cemented in yet, but that's what it looks like right now. Both these guys are obviously very talented arms, both borderline top 50 guys overall. I think they're both absolutely top 10 pitching prospects right now. Very different guys. So obviously, Green's the more exciting guy. He hits triple digits. He's electric. Lodolo might be the better all-around pitcher in terms of the arsenal-wise. So they're very close overall. Another poll I put up on Twitter asking who people liked out of these two plus Brandon Williamson, just to throw a third guy in there. And it was Green won it by about 2% over Lodolo. So it's very close there. So I'll ask you, Chris, who do you like more for this year and long-term between Lodolo and Hunter Green?
This year, I'd probably lean Lodolo just because I think the floor is higher and you look at volatility of rookie pitchers and Green can just be erratic from time to time. I mean, Green's stuff is superior in my opinion, but I just feel like Lodolo's floor is so much higher that he's going to be more consistent. Long-term, I could see it being close. They're two different pitchers, in my opinion. But for 2022, I'll take Lodolo. Long-term, I'll probably flip a coin. I do like them both a lot long-term.
As do I. I would lean towards Lodolo for this year as well. Like you said, I think overall the stuff, it might be a bit better for Green, but is it consistently better for Green? That's the question I have is, you know, sometimes he just doesn't have that secondary stuff start to start, and Lodolo is much more consistent with the secondaries, and Lodolo can miss a ton of bats too. That's kind of an underrated, you know, aspect of his game where he is an incredibly high strikeout arm, you know, even more so. I think he had a higher K rate last year than Green, and I don't think it was even that close. I have to go back and look, but look at the K rate last year for Lodolo. Between AA and AAA, he made 13 starts. He had 78 Ks in just 50 2/3 innings, which is a 38.8% K rate. And on top of that, only had 11 walks to those 78 Ks for a 5.5%. He had one of the biggest K minus walk rates in the minor leagues, 2.31 ERA. Lodolo, I think, is one of the more underrated arms in the minors, or obviously the majors now. But I think just because Green has that pizzazz, he hits triple digits and all, he's more electric. I get it. But Lodolo, I think, is the better all around pitcher. So I might lean him by a hair both for this year and long term. I think he's struck out just as many guys, maybe even more than Hunter Green, and probably post a little bit better ratios too. So I think I'm team Lodolo here. That's no knock to Green at all. I would love to have both these guys in my dynasty leagues, but I will give the slight edge to Nick Lodolo for both here. Going back over to the hitting side of things, I think, yeah, the rest of our guys are all hitters on the list here. Not the huge names, but still definitely guys to be on your radar or even target this year. And obviously, long-term, there's plenty of value there. We have four more names we're going to talk about here. Let's start right in the city of brotherly love. Bryson Stott is going to start the year up with Philadelphia. And Boehm, surprisingly, was as well. It was kind of looking like it might be one or the other. And they bring up both Stott and Boehm. I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out, though. I don't know. Have you seen anything that, Chris, that like shows like who's the start where? Because I kind of haven't.
It's a good question. I don't know. I assume that Boehm starts the year on the bench. I don't know. There's no other option, really, unless, you know, DD just is terrible and or he gets hurt.
Which are both possibilities.
Right. Those are strong possibilities. But in that case, Stott just slides over to short. You bump Boehm in. Right now, Roster Resource has him in a platoon, Stott and Boehm at third. I don't really see that. I could be totally off base, though, but both guys really need to play. I mean, to get better, they need to, especially Boehm. Boehm needs the reps. He doesn't need to sit on the bench.
Right.
Like, but you also don't call Stott up to sit on the bench either, so it's a tough spot. Like, maybe DD just finds the bench early. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, it's a tough spot right now for Boehm more than Stott, I think.
They probably should just move on from DD at this point.
They should.
What does he bring?
Not much.
I mean, oh, yeah, he has some power. Okay, they have plenty of power. they got Schwarber, Realmuto, Harper, Castellanos, Hoskins. They got plenty of power. They ain't got to worry about power. So, yeah, I would rather them put Stott at short, Baum at third, just let them settle in and see what they have with those two guys. Sure. And with Baum, too, I guess I have to wonder, kind of similar to Gavin Lux, is that he's just kind of slowly sliding down my rankings. He's no longer top 200. I don't think I even have him top 250 anymore. I had to do a quick control F on my spreadsheet. Yeah, I moved him down to 291, actually, which is lower than I thought, but I just kept looking at some of the third basemen on my list. I said, nope, I'd rather have him. So I guess I still believe Baum could be decent, kind of similar to how I think Spencer Howard can still be pretty, at least a decent fantasy guy, but I maybe think that we were just overvaluing Baum coming up through the minors, and he was good, but not great in the minor leagues. So, but maybe he's just a 260, 18 to 20 guy moving forward, which is, you know, maybe he's a guy you draft late, you know, late rounds or so, but I don't think he's ever going to be a starting, you know, first baseman or a third baseman for fantasy purposes, or even, I don't know, maybe even starting corner infielder to stretch at this point, but I don't know. Are you still a Baum believer, Chris?
Not really. I'm kind of struggling with that one, but if he could lift the ball a little bit, I think he'd be fine. He just hammers it in the ground, which just really kills his value. So that's my concern with him, but we'll see. But I think he needs to rep. He needs to play, and he's not going to get to play, which really hurts him.
Right. And this spring, he was not good. It was a lot of what we saw last year. He had 14 games, hit 222, 282, 333. Did have one home run, but that was it. One home run, one double, and three walks to four Ks. But it's just a lot of what we saw last year, where just couldn't hit for average, pounding the ball into the ground. But last year, you know, the approach was still okay. The quality of contact metrics were pretty solid. They're above average for the most part, but like you said, it was just into the ground. It was like a similar issue that what Vladdy had, and obviously Vladdy is much better of a pure hitter than Baum. So, you know, maybe I said 260, 18 to 20 home runs, I think could still be possible, but that's about it. I'm not really seeing much upside for more. So not really a guy I'm looking to target in dynasty leagues right now. That's for sure. Stott though, absolutely is, because yeah, he'll even if he starts full time, he's a hit bottom third just because of all the studs they have at the top. But long term, I said it before, I think he's tailor made for like number two spot in the lineup. His high OBP, he's a 390 career OBP guy in the minor leagues, nearly a 300 hitter as well. I think he could be 280 hitter, 370 plus OBP, maybe a 20 homer, 15 steal guy that scores a ton of runs with all the big bats behind him driving him in with his high OBP. So definitely a very underrated guy that you probably still get for a pretty reasonable price tag in dynasty leagues right now. So definitely a pretty good target right now in terms of his value.
Yep. Certainly agree there. I think you can get him pretty affordably and pay off, because I don't think the hype's really caught up yet.
Definitely hasn't. And like I said, he's always kind of been underrated because he doesn't have that huge wow tool, right? Like, he's just really rock solid across the board. You know, he's solid defensively. He gets on base at a good clip. He's got like average to above average power and speed, but doesn't have the 30 homer power or 25 steel wheels or something like that. So those guys always seem to get a little undervalued in dynasty leagues, and I will capitalize on that. Same thing with Alec Thomas. He's basically Bryson Stott, but a little bit better power speed, I think. So just those guys just get underrated all the time. Definitely guys I like to target for sure. Now, let's tie in the next guy here with Bryson Stott. Who would you rather have for 2022 and beyond, Chris? Bryson Stott or Jeremy Pena?
I think I'd rather have Pena, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that my rankings don't reflect that, and it probably should. But he's another one I just think just gets so underrated. And you know, people question the power, but he's a big dude. He's really strong, and he had a two-homer game in the spring already. I think he's probably at least average game power. You know, I think the profiles may be fairly similar, but I do think that Pena can chip in some stolen bases as well, which, you know, I'm not sure how much Stott runs. So overall, like, I could see them returning similar value, which would be kind of fun to see play out, but both are really solid hitters. Both kind of developed more power last year, but I think that we haven't seen Pena's best yet. So I'm going to go with Pena. And I think Stott's the more floor play, though. But I think Pena makes everybody in Houston forget about Carlos Correa pretty quick.
It's a bold statement, but I like it, Chris. I like Pena a lot, and I'm also guilty of underranking him. Excuse me. I have adjusted that. Like, he's top 100 prospect for me now. I moved him in. He definitely deserves to be, especially with how much value he can provide in the short term, hitting in that Houston lineup. That's a great park for him. I think, yeah, as I wrote up some of these guys that we talked about tonight over in an article for Fantasy Pros, which might be out by tomorrow when you're listening to this, or on Thursday, I should say. And when I wrote up Stott first, and then I think there was another player between, and then I wrote up Pena, and I was like, man, did I just write up Bryson Stott again? Like I said, very similar profiles. That was what you mentioned there. And yeah, I think there might be a little more upside for Pena, and he's deceptively strong. I won't say who showed me this, but I was shown a picture a few weeks ago by someone in the industry that has a contact that showed me a picture of Jeremy Pena. He is absolutely freaking ripped. Like, this guy is incredibly strong. This is not the huge frame, but it's a very strong frame. So yeah, especially with him being a righty with that short porch and left field in Houston, I think you could see him get up in the mid-20s for home runs, maybe not this year, but long-term, maybe he's a mid-20, low to mid-20s, 22, 23, 24 homer guy that adds in double-digit steals and a good average and solid counting stats. So yeah, I could definitely see him, going higher in value than Stott, but I guess it's what would you rather have? It's, would you rather have the little bit higher floor, or rather have the little bit higher ceiling? Can't really go wrong, but I think the moral of this story is both these guys are great buys in dynasty leagues and pretty solid values for this year. I got several shares of Stott, a few of Pena as well, so definitely looking forward to seeing what each of these two can do in their rookie year here in 2022. Couple more guys round up the show. Steven Kwan and Geraldo Perdomo are both to be in the starting lineups for Cleveland and Arizona, respectively. Now, Kwan, we've talked about before, super high contact rates. Like, I think he was over 90% in AAA last year, and like 88 in AA. I think he was probably right around 90% overall, which is insane. Power started coming along. He never really had power. He started showing a little bit of power back in 2019, and then that. I think he had 13 last year, about a 24-20 homer pace. So the power's finally come along. A little bit of speed. Maybe he's a, 15 homer, 5 steal type with a high average. So doesn't sound super sexy and all, but that could play. Maybe he's a, Jeff McNeil type long term. I could see that. But
yeah.
And Perdomo's always been a high OBP guy as well. He's more of a floor type. But yeah, these are guys that deeper leagues I'd definitely be looking to take a shot on this year.
Yeah, I think Kwan more so than Perdomo.
Agreed, yeah.
Kwan just feels like a high floor to hit. I think is he like a Kevin Newman type? Where he's like, I don't know, he's probably more power and speed than Kevin Newman maybe.
Yeah.
But like 12-12 with a good average, that seems pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Perdomo, I don't know, he's been so up and down. Like, I've loved the profile. Yeah. I just don't know what to make of him. Like, I'm really glad that he made the roster. He's a great defensive shortstop. He kind of lacks power to an extent, but as Kwan does too, I don't know what kind of power that Perdomo hits for at the big league level. That'll be the biggest thing. You're right. I think he plays up in an OBP league. I don't know what kind of average he hits for either this year, but I will say I'm more confident in Kwan for 2022.
Totally agree there. And for what it's worth, looking at some projections here, for Steven Kwan, who looks like he'll be the starting right fielder, and he might move up in the lineup too. Like, they have him hitting eighth or so with the Straw and Ahmed Rosario up there in 1-2, but I could totally see Kwan sneaking his way up there if one of those guys gets hurt or if, they just don't perform well. And Straw, I think maybe Straw would be the guy that probably gets bumped out, but they have some pretty solid projections on him. They have them all around like 275, 280. Zips has him as 287 this year. A lot of I see some 10, 11, 12 home runs, 6, 7 steals, and about 440 plate appearances. So, which I think is pretty solid. And you see a lot of tool, like I just put up his Fangraphs page. They have him 70/80 hit, and that's just absolutely true. See how much power speed is there. Again, probably not a lot, but definitely a sneaky good guy to get. If you want an average boost, you could probably go get him on your waiver wire right now. And in most standard 12 teamers, he's probably not rostered at this point, but both these guys, Perdomo was probably like a 15 plus teamer and probably Kwan too, but he'd be definitely the one I'd take a shot on over Perdomo for sure. I think that's going to wrap us up though. A lot of fun names talked about today. I'm sure we'll have a lot more. Hopefully we can get some CJ Abrams talk in. He's probably gonna get called up before this episode drops tomorrow morning, which would be our luck, which is how it goes. But that's just the nature of the beast. But hopefully we get some CJ Abrams here, which looks like we should. You know, he's still up there and opening day is tomorrow. So, you know, put two and two together. I think he's up, but we'll wait for that announcement. And I'm sure we will all freak out about it on Twitter as we always do. But that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ, Fantasy Pros, or over on our Patreon. And join us again next time for more Fantasy Baseball Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.